I expect you've got some money for us. Mr. Goatburger realised that he was trapped. His face contorted into a series of twisted expressions as he experimented with some replies. Then he smiled as widely as Nanny and sat down opposite her. Of course, things are very difficult at the moment, he said. In fact, I can't recall a worse time, he added with considerable honesty. He looked at Granny's face. His grin stayed where it was, but the rest of his face began to edge away. People just don't seem to be buying books, he said, and the cost of the etchings, well, it's wicked. Everyone I know buys the almanac, said Granny. I reckon everyone in Lunkra buys your almanac. Everyone in the whole Ramtops buys the almanac, even the dwarfs. That's a lot of half dollars, and Githa's book seems to be doing very well. Well, of course, I'm glad it's so popular, but what with distribution, paying the peddlers, the wear and tear on the... Your almanac will last a household all winter, with care, said Granny, providing no one's ill and the paper's nice and thin. My son Jason buys two copies, said Nanny. Of course, he's got a big family. The privy door never stops swinging. Yes, but you see, the point is, I don't actually have to pay you anything, said Mr. Goatburger, trying to ignore this. His smile had the face all to itself now. You paid me to print it, and I gave you your money back. In fact, I think our accounts department made a slight error in your favour, but I won't go into that. His voice trailed away. Granny Weatherwax was unfolding a sheet of paper. These predictions for next year, she said. Where'd you get that? I borrowed it. You can have it back if you like. Well, what about them? They're wrong. What do you mean they're wrong? They're predictions. I don't see there being a rain of curry in Clatch next May. You don't get curry that early. You know about the predictions business, said Goatburger. You? I've been printing predictions for years. I don't do clever stuff for years ahead like you do, Granny admitted, but I'm pretty accurate if you want a 30-second one. Indeed? What's going to happen in 30 seconds? Granny told him. Goatburger roared with laughter. Oh, yes, that's a good one. You should be writing them for us, he said. Oh, my word, nothing like being ambitious, eh? That's better than the spontaneous combustion of the Bishop of Quirm, and that didn't even happen. In 30 seconds, eh?
No.
No?
21 seconds now, said Granny.
Mr. Bucket had arrived at the Opera House early to see if anyone had died so far today. He made it as far as his office without a single body dropping out of the shadows. He really hadn't expected it to be like this. He'd liked opera. It had all seemed so artistic. He'd watched hundreds of operas and practically no one had died, except once during the ballet scene in La Traviata, when a ballerina had rather over-enthusiastically been flung into the lap of an elderly gentleman in the front row of the stalls. She hadn't been hurt, but the old man had died in one incredibly happy instant. Someone knocked at the door. Mr. Bucket opened it about a quarter of an inch.
"Who's dead?" he said. "No one, Mr. Bucket. I've got your letters."
Oh, it's you, Walter. Thank you." He took the bundle and shut the door. There were bills. There were always bills. The opera house practically runs itself, they'd told him. Well, yes, but it practically ran on money. He rummaged through the letters. There was an envelope with the opera house crest on it. He looked at it like a man looks at a very fierce dog on a very thin leash. It did nothing except lie there and look as gummed as an envelope can be. Finally, he disemboweled it with the paper knife and then flung it down on the desk again as if it would bite. When it did not do so, he reached out hesitantly and withdrew the folded letter. It read as follows. "My dear Bucket, I would be most grateful if Christine sings the role of Laura tonight. I assure you she is more than capable. The second violinist is a little slow, I feel, and the second act last night was frankly extremely wooden. This really is not good enough. May I extend my own welcome to Signor Basilica. I congratulate you on his arrival, wishing you the very best. The Opera Ghost."
Mr. Salzella!
Salzella was eventually located. He read the note.
"You do not intend to accede to this," he said.
"She does sing superbly, Salzella."
"You mean the knit girl?"
Well, yes, you know what I mean.
"But this is nothing less than blackmail."
"Is it? He's not actually threatening anything."
"You let her, I mean them, of course. You let them sing last night, and much good it did poor Dr. Undershaft.
What do you advise, then?
There was another series of disjointed knocks on the door.
Come in, Walter, said Bucket and Salzella together.
Walter jerked in, holding the coal scuttle.
I've been to see Commander Vimes of the City Watch, said Salzella. He said he'll have some of his best men here tonight.
Undercover.
I thought you said they were all incompetent.
Salzella shrugged.
We've got to do this properly. Did you know Dr. Undershaft was strangled before he was hung?
Hanged, said Bucket, without thinking. Men are hanged. It's dead meat that's hung.
Indeed, said Salzella. I appreciate the information. Well, poor old Undershaft was strangled, apparently, and then he was hung.
Really, Salzella, you do have a misplaced sense.
I've finished now, Mr. Bucket.
Yes. Thank you, Walter. You may go.
Yes, Mr. Bucket.
Walter closed the door behind him very conscientiously.
I'm afraid it's working here, said Salzella. If you don't find some way of dealing with...
Are you all right, Mr. Bucket?
What?
Bucket, who'd been staring at the closed door, shook his head.
Walter.
What about him?
All right, is he?
Oh, he's got his funny little ways. He's harmless enough, if that's what you mean. Some of the stagehands and musicians are a bit cruel to him, you know, sending him out for a tin of invisible paint or a bag of nail holes and so on. He believes what he's told.
Why?
Oh, I just wondered.
Silly, really. I suppose he is, technically.
No, I meant, it doesn't matter.
Granny Weatherwax and Nanny Ogg left Goatburger's office and walked demurely down the street. At least Granny walked demurely. Nanny leaned somewhat. Every 30 seconds she'd say,
How much was that again?
$3,270.87, said Granny.
She was looking thoughtful.
I thought it was nice of him to look in all the ashtrays for all the odd coppers he could round up, said Nanny. Those he could reach, anyway.
How much was that again?
$3,270.87.
I've never had $70 before, said Nanny.
I didn't say just $70. I said,
yes, I know, but I'm working my way up to it gradual. I'll say this about money, it really chafes.
I don't know why you have to keep your purse in your knicker leg, said Granny.
It's the last place anyone would look, Nanny sighed.
How much did you say it was?
$3,270.87.
I'm going to need a bigger tin.
You're going to need a bigger chimney.
I could certainly do with a bigger knicker leg, she nudged Granny. You're going to have to be polite to me now. I'm rich, she said.
Yes, indeed, said Granny, with a faraway look in her eyes. Don't think I'm not considering that.
She stopped. Nanny walked into her with a tinkle of lingerie. The frontage of the opera house loomed over them.
We've got to get back in there, Granny said, and into box 8.
Crowbar, said Nanny firmly. A number 3 claw end should do it.
We are not your nev, said Granny. Anyway, breaking in wouldn't be the same thing. We've got to have a right to be there.
Cleaners, said Nanny. We could be cleaners and... No, it's not right me being a cleaner now in my position.
No, we can't have that with you in your position.
Granny glanced down at Nanny as a coach pulled up outside the opera house.
Of course, she said, artfulness dripping off her voice like toffee. We could always buy box 8.
Wouldn't work, said Nanny.
People were hurrying down the steps with the cuff-adjusting, sticky looks of welcoming committees everywhere.
They're scared of selling it.
Why not? Said Granny. There's people dying and the opera goes on. That means someone's prepared to sell his own grandmother if he'd make enough money.
It'd cost a fortune anyway, said Nanny.
She looked at Granny's triumphant expression and groaned.
Oh, Esme, I was going to save that money from me old age.
She thought for a minute. Anyway, it still wouldn't work. I mean, look at us. We don't look like the right kind of people.
Enrico Basilica got out of the coach.
But we know the right kind of people, said Granny.
Oh, Esme,